Today, I'd like to share with you about why worldview matters. Worldview is something that everyone has. Whether you may have thought of it, maybe you've looked at it or not in your lives, worldview is something that everyone has. And I'd like to liken it to that of a contact lens. I don't wear glasses, but just for the sake of the illustration, I'm going to, you know, act as if I do. But many of you do have glasses or wear contacts. And when you put that contact lens in, you're not looking at it all day. It's what you see the world through. You look through it throughout the entire day, and sometimes you might not even notice it's there unless it begins to irritate you or aggravate you. And so a worldview, first and foremost, is something you see the world through. Michael Whitmer describes a worldview as a framework of fundamental concepts of belief about the world. In short, a worldview comprises the lens through which we see the world. So a few other quotes. I just want to kind of list off a couple with some groundwork. A.W. Tozer says, "What comes to mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you." And J.A. Bengel says, "Apply yourself wholly, as in completely, to the scriptures, and apply the scriptures wholly to yourself." So I don't just want to talk about a worldview today. I want to ultimately get to the point of the importance of a Christian worldview or a Christian mindset, that is focused on Christ, and it comes from Christ and is seen through the lens of Scripture. The passage of Scripture today that I'd like to focus on is Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. It's not going to be up on the screen. So if you have your Bibles, or if you'd like to use the Bible in front of you in the pew, go ahead. I'm reading, I believe, from the ESV. It says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So the first thing I want to focus is, what is the importance of a Christian worldview? Well, Christian worldview helps to, one, to separate us. It helps to separate us from the world, from worldly things. A Christian worldview helps to transform us. By having a proper understanding of Christ and how he works in our lives, we're able to step out of his way and allow him and the Spirit to work in our lives and transform us more and more into him, his image daily. And it also helps to inform us. It helps to inform us through Scripture who God is, and because we know who God is, that he's revealed to us in the Scriptures, we're able then to communicate that to others. We are called to be a missional people. Christians are missional people, to share the gospel, to share the good news of Christ with others around us. And if we know Christ, if we are informed through this Christian worldview, then we are able to more accurately and more efficiently share the gospel to others. Now, worldviews sometimes have negative consequences and sometimes have positive consequences, because the fact is, ideas have consequences. And whether or not, you know, we always think of consequences in the sense of negative things, like, you know, oh, there's consequences for those actions. You know, you might say that to a kid if they're doing something bad, and we always think in the fact that it's a negative thing, but there's always good consequences. Consequences are mainly just the outcome of a given action or a given thought or a given idea. I went to Czech Republic back in 2005 on a 10-day short-term mission trip. And we went to a little village I believe it's north of Prague, called Litoměřice. And just outside of that town, where I was actually staying, was a place called Terezín. And Terezín was one of the places where there was a concentration camp that was placed there during World War II. And so to walk around that place, to actually be on the ground that all of that took place on, was unnerving. It was a very emotional experience. But I was also able to go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and to see a lot of images and pictures of what happened and the horror that happened there during the Holocaust. Ideas have consequences. And I want to assert that maybe Hitler didn't just come out of nowhere. If you look back through the recent history that he was involved with, is that before the Holocaust, there were decades of philosophical theories advocating superior races. There were nationalistic laws that limited people, particularly of the Jewish race, and there was the use of eugenics to weed out inferior peoples. And if you throw in a dash of Darwin's survival of the fittest and a little bit of nihilism's pursuit of raw power, you arrive at the concentration camp. Ideas have consequences. Things that we assimilate day in and day out, maybe without thinking, into our worldview, have consequences. But these consequences don't always have to be horrible, as in this sense. In the early church in Rome, when plagues would come through cities and people would flee, the Roman citizens would flee from the cities to even just leaving their friends and their family behind so that they would not have to contract whatever plague was coming through. The early church, the Christians of that day, remained behind to nurse the sick. And this was because of their belief in a Savior who sacrificed himself for others. They were content to give their lives as well. So ideas have consequences. How we see the world oftentimes dictates or directs how we respond to it and engage in it. A Christian worldview helps us think differently. Back in 1997, Apple Computer was on the brink of extinction. You wouldn't believe that today, but they were not doing very well. And their new slogan that came about was to think differently. And they just didn't have that as a slogan. They actually began to think differently, starting to think how to do the computer markets differently. And through that actual ideology, you know, we see today that they're one of the giants. Probably, I'm going to say at least 25 to 50% of you might have an iPhone in your pocket right now. Because of that thinking differently aspect, that changing of a worldview, that changing of how they thought to work within that given market. So I want to give you a couple examples from Scripture of a worldly worldview. We see the first in Job with his friends. We know the whole story as we read through, but Job was experiencing this. You know, he didn't see the end as we do, as we can read through it in, you know, the matter of 25 minutes, maybe an hour and a half, depending on how fast you can read. But we know the end of that story. We know that God was sovereign above it all. We know that he was in control. But during that time, that Job was subject to extreme suffering, you know, with the loss of his everything, his all of his riches, which were measured in flocks and herds, the loss of his kids, the loss of, you know, even his health at that time. And the myth that was going around in that time, at least with Job's friends, or their worldview, was that everything happens because of cause and effect. And even still today, there are some people who subscribe to this ideology of cause and effect. I do good things, and good things happen. I do bad things, and bad things happen. But that's not necessarily true. We see in the case of Job was an upright and righteous man. He was a God-fearing, God-honoring man, even in the face of all of this trials and this suffering. But his friends, their false comfort that they tried to give him was to do good things, or he must have done something bad because he's being punished. So that worldview that they had at this time was the myth. The fact of the matter is that he and we have an all-powerful, all-wise God who permits things to happen that are beyond our understanding. And he has our good in mind, even if we can't fathom why. God is infinite and we are finite. There's no way that we can understand fully the grasp of what he knows. We can't understand his full grasp of his love because, as part of his characteristic of being infinite, his love is infinite as well. And so is his sovereignty and his justice and his mercy. We see another example of a worldly worldview in Scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes when it's discussing about life under the sun. The writer is writing during this point that if God does not exist, that life under the sun, everything that happens is meaningless. He had amassed great riches, great wealth. He had everything that the world says for us to strive after. He had it. But yet, without God being the central focus, everything was meaningless. That life under the sun, the only thing we'd have to look for if God was not our central focus would be death. It's the only thing that was constant, the only thing that you could look forward to in that situation. Paul's contrast of hedonism, which is the pursuit of pleasure, with Christianity in 1 Corinthians 15, he says this in 1 Corinthians 15, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So this idea that if Christ wasn't the central focus of our life, that he wasn't the focal point or significant, and if really he was out of the picture, then really we could just pursue after our own happiness. We could just go and nothing would be a problem. But he's using this to stress the fact that having a Christian worldview, the belief that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead by God the Father for us so that we can be brought into back into a good relationship with the Father was crucial. It was important. So, back to Romans, chapter 12, 1-2. We see that Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. So in Romans 12, he's talking about the renewed mind. But we notice that he says, therefore. And so when you say therefore, usually that comes after another idea has already been presented. So you got to look back in Scripture to where he's talking about this before. And we see that in Romans 1. He's talking about the darkened mind. He's talking about the people who chose to turn away from God, to start to worship things that were made by man, made in the image of man, or even in the image of animals and beasts, that they were given over to their darkened mind, that they were let to go astray. But the beauty is that with Christ, is that we have the opportunity to have a renewed mind, to come back into fellowship with God. And that doesn't mean that we don't have a responsibility in that. This is saying that we should be transformed by the renewal of our mind. And in order to renew your mind, that is to meditate on Scripture daily. It is to focus in on that Christian worldview, using Scripture as the lens that we see the world, not necessarily using the world or what we've assimilated from that as a way to see Scripture. We've got to reverse that. We've got to make sure that Scripture is our lens to see the world, to see others in it, because that would drastically affect the way that we act and the way that we respond to situations. So two different worldviews. If you think, and some people might think this, if you think that the problem to murders and stealing and rapes is the cause of uneducation, because you might be able to assimilate that, then the logic would follow if that is a result of the fact that someone has been uneducated, therefore they weren't able to get a good job, and that means that they're in a poverty state, so that in order for them to survive, they need to steal, they need to take from someone else, and maybe in that situation end up killing somebody, but in order to survive. If you think that education, if your worldview is that, is the cause, then what would fix all of that would be the fact that everyone's more educated. But as a Christian, with a Christian worldview, we know that sin is the cause for all of that to happen, because people were given over to their darkened mind. And the only way for all this to be eradicated would be if Christ came and completely transformed everyone, every single person. And so that's why we're called to share the gospel to people, is so that they can know Christ and that he can work in their lives through that. So have you ever heard of the saying, self-fulfilling prophecy? Self-fulfilling prophecy. I've seen that sometimes. So I'm bringing this into the fact that a self-fulfilling prophecy is that if you put this lens in your eye, then you're going to see things differently. And we hear also about rose-colored glasses. But a self-fulfilling prophecy, I've seen this actually happen in my own life with myself and my brother. There was a period of time where when I was going to Bible college and I was studying to be a pastor, and my brother, who he didn't quite know what he wanted to do. A lot of the time growing up, he would follow in my footsteps. I did this, and he came along and did it as well. He's 15 months younger than me, so we're really close in age. But we ended up, we were good friends growing up, and he did a lot of the same things that I did. But a period of time, during college, and he didn't quite know what he wanted to do or where he wanted to go, and he was also kind of talking back to my parents as he was living there and not really helping, but because I've had Christ in my life changing me, I would love to serve. I never did when I was a teenager, but after Christ grabbed a hold of me, I would love to serve my parents. And so people would see that and would say, oh, well, Mitch is the good kid and Josh is the bad kid. Even if they didn't say Josh is the bad kid, my brother, they inferred it. They would say it in front of him, oh, well, Mitch is the good kid. And between two, then, if you're not the good kid, then what are you? And so that would go back and forth. But sadly, that has been a self-fulfilling prophecy. That changed the way that he viewed himself, the lens that he saw himself through. And because of that, he turned away from and denied everything that I stood for, and has completely left. And even to the point where recently our relationship was kind of on rocky terms when we were visiting my family. And we're working through that and discussing things, but it's just interesting to see how that played out as a situation, as a scenario, as the fact that the lens that he was seeing himself through changed. And so through that, his actions change. So what you think about yourself, the worldview, the mindset that you have about yourself, about others, changes the way that you respond. Your actions are changed. We see Paul mentioned here, he mentions at first, present your bodies as living sacrifice. Then a little bit later he says, and be transformed by the renewal of your mind. He doesn't have these two separate things. He doesn't just say, do rightly or think rightly. He knows that they are tied together, that doing rightly, that our outward actions is only one level, but the deeper level behind that is to think rightly, to have that Christian mindset, to see others as the way that Christ would see them, to see ourselves as the way Christ would see us, to see sin as the way that Christ would see it. Worldviews are at sometimes a hodgepodge of things that we see around us. They're a conglomeration of different things that we might pick up during our upraising. We might pick up with the friends we hung out with. We might pick up through just different things, maybe in studying of Scripture or even of listening to Christian radio. Sometimes we might say things or think that it's a Christian response, but it's nowhere in Scripture. It might be in a song, you know, and that might be a Christian cliche, but it's not based on Scripture. So I think deeper than just listening to Christian songs, we need to go into Scripture, that go into God's Word, to have that as the lens. So sometimes we see, depending on our worldview, we might see sin come up in our lives. We might see different things come around, and we know that it's blatantly obvious that this is wrong, and our guard goes up. You know, we don't want that to infect our lives. But sometimes we also see things that are subtle, like I just mentioned about Christian radio, that might be just different ideas that are not scriptural or biblical, but they have a kind of a common ideology within the Christian community. You know, it could be subtle, and we could be persuaded by that. So worldviews can be affected by other things, by external things, by what we allow into our minds if we are not constantly renewing them upon Scripture. Before I went to Bethany Bible College, now Kingswood University, I attended another university, another Christian university, and it was just interesting to see people there. I'm a brand new Christian, just about a year into this, and I have felt a call into ministry, and so at times I would look towards others. I would look to see, you know, what are the other Christians around me doing, and I'd use them as my measuring stick, not necessarily using Scripture as the way to measure how I've grown in my relationship with Christ or to measure what is acceptable. And so for a period of about a month, I had one of my friends during that time, they would say, oh, I'm strong enough to not let this affect me. And they would curse and swear like it didn't mean a thing. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, if they're strong enough, then I want to be strong enough too. So for about a month, I cursed and swore like nobody's brother. Like no other. I had a foul mouth. And then I was convicted. The Spirit worked in my life, and I was like, no, this is wrong. This is not honoring to God. But then I found out later. So we'll move ahead 5 years from that point. As Shar and I were serving in Haiti for 5 months down there, we were completely withdrawn from the culture. That was a worldview change, seeing all of what happened down there. But we were completely withdrawn from this culture. We had internet, you know, we kind of seen things that happen here, but ultimately as a culture, we missed a lot of things that have happened over that course of time. We got back and Justin Bieber happened. I don't know, you know him, but he's a pop star. I had no clue. And so there's different things like that that have happened during that time, but the benefit that I saw through that was how God was working in me. Being out of, completely withdrawn from the culture that I was submersed in, with the worldview that certain things were okay and certain things were permitted, being withdrawn from that, I was able to see more clearly, change the lens that I was seeing this stuff through. So one day we're driving back, we're on the main island, and in order to go anywhere, we were on a little island of Loganoff, which is, here's the main island of Haiti, kind of shaped like a crescent, and then Loganoff's right in the middle. So in order to get to Port-au-Prince, the main city, where we do our major grocery shopping, it was a 2-hour boat ride, then a 2-hour car ride, just to get into town. Then we have to go around through a crazy city, you know, getting groceries. And then we'd have to spend the night because you couldn't have another two-hour boat ride and two-hour car ride to get back to the little island. But we're coming back one day, and there's not enough room in the truck we're in. We're kind of like in a half-ton truck. So Haiti, you know, being no rules at all, you know, for roads, you see the tap-taps. There's like sometimes it's a half-ton truck with the cab that's been raised on the back, and they'll fit 30 or 40 people in the back of it. But we're standing in the back of a half-ton. Char and Justine, another missionary, they went inside the truck because it was the extended cab, so they're sitting in the back. And Matt and I, two other missionaries, were standing in the back, and oh, it was fun. I remember just flying down the roads at 60 miles an hour, just standing up in the back of the truck, and that was a good time. And so we got to the dock, but the person with the key wasn't there. The workers were there that were managing the little facility, but the key was not there. The key, I guess, ended up going somewhere else with somebody, whether it went across the water or if it went into town. But we had to wait for someone to get a key to open up the big gate to get the truck in. The man door was open, but we had to open the gate to get the big truck in. And so we're standing there, and we're waiting, and it was only probably about 15 minutes for us to get there. But here comes down the road, a little guy on a bicycle with a cooler on the back. Biking down the road, here he comes, and he stopped and said, "You guys want to buy a Coke?" And he said it in Haitian, obviously, but basically it was like, "Do you want to buy a Coke? You know, I'm here, I'm selling Coke," which is like, you know, soda. And down there, the soda was awesome. They made it with cane sugar, so it had a completely different taste, and it was really good. It was less processed. I don't know, it was some of the best soda I've had in my life. Side note. Justine got out of the truck. She's like, "Yeah, I'll get a soda." It was kind of hot, so she wanted something cool to drink. So she gets out, and then me, standing in the back of the truck, not really paying attention, I'm leaning over, talking to Matt, and all of a sudden, bam! My finger was in the door. And it didn't just shut, it completely latched and squished. So I'm banging on the window, trying to get her attention. "Open the door, open the door." Char and Justine turn around, "What? Huh?" And then Justine opens the door, "What?" And I'm like, "Oh." And that my finger right here was my middle finger that ended up getting stuck. It was right here behind my knuckle, but it was smaller than I thought possible because it stayed dented from where that got squished. So during that time in my life, I would actually, if I was in pain, I'd just walk away and just scream really loud. And so as I'm walking, I went through the man door, and I'm walking out to get to the end of the wharf because I wanted to just get away from everybody. And as I'm walking, I see the Haitian workers right there, and I'm going, oh. And all of a sudden my mind came like, okay, well, I'm a missionary. I'm an ambassador for Christ. You know, what are they going to think if I go to the end of the dock and just start screaming like a madman? What are they going to think about, you know, Americans or Canadians? What are they going to think about, you know, the Christian missionaries? And as I got almost to the end of the dock, I realized I never had one cuss word come to my mind. Not even to my mind. Like, I mean, before that, they'd come and I'd just kind of use it as a gate and not let it come through. That was the action part. But then at this point, it was not even one came to my mind. And that was because I was out of the culture that permitted it through movies, through media, through whatnot. And I ran back to the truck, and Justine is sitting there feeling horrible for this. And I come back smiling and excited because of what I just realized happened in my life. And she's like, "Are you sure you're okay?" Like, completely skeptical. She thought I'd be a raging lunatic, but it was not. But I was just, it was interesting to see that being withdrawn from the culture, being withdrawn and changing that worldview, changing that lens, led to a difference in how my mind worked, even. Not necessarily my actions, but my mind as well. Sometimes I think people think that the stuff we allow into our lives doesn't affect us spiritually or doesn't affect us internally. We might know the old adage of garbage in, garbage out. You know, for maybe physical things or different ways of her attitude, maybe. But when it comes to thinking spiritually, I don't know if we've always made that connection. I don't know if I've always made that connection that whatever I let into my mind, you know, is what's going to actually change me and affect me and affect how I see the world. I think sometimes also that in 1 Corinthians 8, we see where Paul is talking about meat offered to idols, and the weaker brother. And he says that if eating meat offered to idols is going to cause one of my weaker brothers to stumble, he says that he will completely abstain from it so not to cause them to stumble. And I think sometimes I've had friends, and I've even had this idea in the past, that the weaker person is the one who can't be in it and resisting it. You know, can't be the one who's diving headlong into sin through whatever means it may be, but yet they think, oh, it's not affecting me because it's not externally coming out in views or ideas or actions. But I think that needs to be reversed. I think the weaker brother is the one who cannot abstain from it through all their lives, and they're the ones that give in to it. And to illustrate this for you, there are three men standing in front of a pit. Okay, this is the pit of sin, of lust, of gluttony, of greed. They're standing in front of this pit, and there's a rope tied around each of their waists. 100-pound test. And so the first man's standing there, and all of a sudden, the rope starts to pull on him. 10 pounds, 15 pounds. He starts to lean back. 20, 25. He starts to dig his heels in. No, he's not going to give in. 30, he jumps. Crack. You know, this pit just isn't a deep pit. This is a pit of death. There's poisonous snakes all at the bottom and crags and spikes, and you just don't want to be in this pit. But the first man, at 30 pounds, gave in. The second man, the rope starts to pull on him, and he's there. No. 10, 15, 20. He's digging in. 30, 35. He's leaning back. He's not giving in. 40, 45. No, I can't give in. 50. Crack. He jumped in. And the third man, standing there, the rope starts to pull on him. 5, 10, 20, 25. He's leaning in. He's leaning against it. He's digging his heels in. 30, 35. No, I can't give in. 40, 50, 65 pounds. He's leaning back. No, help! 70. And then just then, he sees across the way his wife, who's going about her day, fully trusting him. He sees his kids, who admire him. 75. 80. 85. No, I'm not going to give in. And then he sees Christ standing there, fist raised high, big smile on his face. 95. 100, snap, the rope breaks. Cuts are in his sides from the rope. Scars, blood's dripping because of his resistance. Now, who knows the full power of sin? The one who gave in at 35 pounds of pressure, the one who gave in at 50, or the one who withstood against it to the end, the one who cried out for help and resisted it completely. I don't want to see broken ankles for my fellow brothers and sisters. I want to see scars. I want to see the resistance in their lives crying out to Christ for help. That as a worldview, and that being our lens, which we see through and help others as we encourage and lift them up. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the idea that my heart and my soul are not affected by what I put into my mind is an incorrect one. And so, for us to renew our minds, as Paul says here in Romans, and being transformed not just in our deed, but also in our action, is what is important to have as a Christian worldview. Using that as our lens to see others will completely, radically change the world, to be separated from the world, to be transformed, and to be informed. Let's have a time of prayer. Lord, thank you for this day that you've given to us. And Father, I pray that if your Spirit is moving, or that we would not run from it, or we would not hide and just go about our day, but Lord, that we would focus in on you, that we'd look to you to see how we are responding. Lord, if we are truly being renewed daily and our minds being transformed and our deeds and our actions being given to you as a holy and acceptable living sacrifice. We praise you, God, for being high and mighty, for being sovereign and for being loving, for giving us a way to be renewed through your Spirit, through Christ's sacrifice. Lord, not leaving us in this darkened mindset that we once came from. Lord, through you, we have hope. And I pray, Father, that we examine our worldviews, we examine the lenses that we see the world through, and renew them through your word, renew them through scripture. In your name, amen. You are dismissed.